I got to say, this is strange stuff, this next story. At least 20 people associated with the U.S. Diplomatic Corps in Cuba have been suffering from hearing loss, dizziness, nausea, and even concussions and brain swelling. It's been going on since November last year, and it's affected some in Canada's diplomatic community there, too. On Friday, the Trump administration cut the U.S. diplomatic presence in Havana in half and warned Americans not to go there. There's talk that it's some kind of secret sonic weapon that's been making people sick. Cuba vehemently denies doing anything like that, and there is no evidence of it at this point. So what is going on? Our reporter Sarah Birnbaum tries to find out more.
Okay, full disclosure. To me, this sounds absolutely crazy. But it doesn't sound weird to Vince Houghton, the curator of the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
It's a long pastime of intelligence agencies to mess with diplomats of other countries, particularly adversary countries.
Let's go back to the Cold War.
Operation Mongoose was the program that was created after the failure of Bay of Pigs, and this was the CIA's attempt to try to take Castro out through various methods. Castro was an avid scuba diver, so one of the ideas was to create an exploding seashell that would be put on a reef near where Castro liked to scuba dive, and it would be so beautiful that Castro would feel compelled to go pick it up and look at it, and then it would blow up and kill them. There are other ideas about he gave a radio address every week, and the idea was let's lace the radio studio with LSD. So when Castro gave his radio address, he would be tripping on acid and give a really wacky radio address, and then no one would want to follow him anymore.
And this one is my personal favorite.
One of the ideas was to sprinkle his shoes with thallium salts, which causes your hair to fall out. So the idea would be that Castro's beard would fall out, and then because the Cuban people were so machismo, they would no longer want to follow him because he didn't have his beard.
That one would have totally worked. But if we're talking about sonic weapons that cause lasting damage, maybe a closer corollary is the spy dust from the Cold War. The Stasi, the East German secret police, would use radioactive chemicals to track suspected dissidents. Anna Funder is the author of the book Stasiland.
So they developed basically radioactive tags, including irradiated pins that they could surreptitiously insert into a person's clothing, radioactive magnets on cars, and radioactive pellets into tires.
Funder also says the Stasi would break into homes and spray the floor with scandium 46. And when people walked through, the radioactive chemical would stick to their shoes, and then they would leave radioactive footprints wherever they went. And then the Stasi would follow them through the crowds with Geiger counters tucked in their armpits. So given all of this, sonic weapons are starting to seem not so far-fetched, but not so fast.
This kind of a weapon would be extraordinarily expensive to develop.
Vince Houghton, the international spy guy, says something doesn't quite add up.
The Cuban intelligence agency, they are very, very good, but they don't have a ton of resources. So they don't have a massive budget to do this kind of thing.
But wait for it.
Now, that being said, they have very rich friends, meaning the Russians, who could potentially be beta testing this inside Cuba.
Houghton says the Cubans probably didn't intend for the weapon to cause permanent brain damage, because that would be a deliberate ratcheting up of tensions, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, diplomatically speaking.
More than likely, this was a beta test of a new technology that went bad, and it was unintentional damage being done of something that should just kind of been, like, let's make them throw up, let's make them dizzy, and then, oh, wow, whoops, it went way too far.
I don't think that's the case here, though. I don't think that's realistic at all.
This naysayer is Dr. Joe Pompei, an acoustics expert in Boston.
I'm saying the technology is not remotely feasible for audio waves or sound waves to be causing the set of symptoms that's been reported.
In order for sound to alter your brain chemistry, the sonic alarm has to be applied directly to your head.
You can't do it through the phone. You can't do it through the walls or the windows or the roof or the ceilings. The best case, I think the most realistic case if something like this were to happen, somebody would have to be in a large bathtub covered in ultrasonic transducers at very high power, very high strength, and have that ultrasound focused very carefully to their head and have to submerge their head underwater and have all these drivers going on at the same time.
And they probably would have reported that. So where does that leave us? There are other theories floating around, like it could be a virus or poison or radiation, or maybe it's a technology no one's ever seen before.
I mean, of course, we have no proof of any of this, but it's fun to speculate.
Yeah, and kind of scary, too. For the world, I'm Sarah Birnbaum.